We will start with a Vedic Shanti Mantra from the Upanishads. Om Apyayanta Mamangani Vak Pranas Chakshu Shrotram Athabalam Indriyani Chasarvani Sarvam Brahmopanishadam Maham Brahma Nirakuryam Ma Brahma Nirakarot Anirakaranam Astu Anirakaranam Me Astu Tadatmani Nirateya Upanishatsu Dharmaste Mayi Santu Te Mayi Santu Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. I pray to the Divine Lord that all aspects of my personality, my body, mind, sense organs, the intellect, the vital force, speech, and the prana shakti, strength, may all those aspects of my personality become strong and function in perfect harmony so that all my actions may be offered to the Divine as my humble offering. This whole physical universe, visible to the mind through the sense organs, is nothing other than the ultimate reality described as Brahman in the Upanishads. May I not forget this truth. May I always keep this truth in my mind and strive vigorously in this life to realize and experience the truth of the Divine Presence within me. As I am engaged in that noble effort of experiencing my divine nature, may all the virtues such as truthfulness, forgiveness, purity, strength, and straightforwardness described in the Upanishads, may all those virtues come and reside in me. May all those virtues reside in me. Om peace. May there be peace in our hearts, Adhyatmika Shanti. May there be peace and harmony amongst all beings, Adi Bhautika Shanti. And may there be peace everywhere in the whole of nature, Adi Daivika Shanti. Good morning and welcome. We have another opportunity on this beautiful day to continue our study of the science of self-knowledge. As we saw before, knowledge is of two kinds: knowledge of the world, aparavidya, and knowledge of the self, paravidya. If a person has knowledge of the self, if he is illumined, a jnani, then what are such a person's traits? What are the characteristics? What are the signs by which we can recognize and emulate such a person, such a Mahatma? In the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, in 5 verses, verses 7 to 11, Sri Krishna has given 20 such characteristics, personality traits, virtues that we can see in a person of self-knowledge. So far we have studied about half of them, a little over half of them. These 20 virtues are listed here by Bhagavan in order that we may also practice these virtues, inculcate these virtues in our personality and reach the goal of self-knowledge. These virtues are First one, amanitvam. Amanitvam means absence of pride. Second one is adambhitvam. Adambhitvam means absence of ostentation or show. Third one is ahimsa, non-injury by thought, word and deed. Fourth one is kshantihi, forgiveness. Fifth one is arjavam, straightforwardness. Whatever mind thinks must be same as what we say in speech, and that must be same as what we show in action. Sixth one is acharyopasanam, worship of the teacher, illumined teacher, who shows us the path to realization. Seventh one, shaucham, purity, both internal and external. Eight, sthairyam, steadiness. We have to be steady and steadfast in our spiritual effort, should not be sporadic. Ninth, atmavinigraha, self-control, controlling the mind and the sense organs and stopping their tendency to go outward into the world of objects outside and refocusing, redirecting their attention on the self within. Tenth one, indriyartheshu vairagyam, detachment from sense objects. That means we should not look upon sense objects as objects of pleasure. Some of them are necessities, but they don't have any intrinsic ability to give us any happiness. Whatever happiness seems to come from sense objects is not coming from there, it's coming from the self within. So the sign of intelligence is to bypass the undependable, poor reflecting surfaces, which the sense objects, which simply reflect a fraction, an infinitesimal fraction of the infinite joy of the self. 11th one is anahankaraha, absence of egoism. Egoism means the strong notion that we all have that we are the body and the mind, experiencing only our body and the mind and not experiencing our divinity hidden within us all, the Atman hidden within us all. That attachment, that identification with the body and the mind is the first cause, first error, that is the cause of all other suffering in human life. Anahankaraha, giving up that notion that I am the body and the mind, and gradually striving to experience our true nature, which is the divine within us all. 12th one, janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha anudarshanam. This is a long one. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha. Janma means birth, being born as a human being, or sometimes, unfortunately, as subhuman beings also. It's possible. Human life is difficult enough. Being born as a subhuman being is unimaginably more limited and more difficult. Mrityu, once we are born, death is inevitable. Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityuhu. In the second chapter, Sri Krishna says, anything that is born has to die. Jara, old age, is inevitable. Vyadhi means health problems, physical problems, bodily problems, and mental problems. Dukkha means suffering arising because of all these various kinds of adversities. And dosha means the blemish, the difficulties that everybody goes through in varying degrees, in varying proportions and ways of all these events in life, beginning from birth until death, disease and old age. Anudarshanam means alochanam. Alochanam means reflecting. We should withdraw from the din and bustle of everyday life, the constant treadmill that we are on. We can't seem to get off the treadmill of life. Reflect, withdraw and pause a little bit and reflect. Where is my life going? In what direction is my life going? Day by day, the fixed lifespan is depleting and old age will soon come, if it has not already come for some of us. What is happening? Where am I going? What is my life? Where it is headed? What will happen? We have to reflect. This alochanam or reflection is very important discipline. We are capable of reflecting. Animals cannot reflect. They just live by instinct. When they are hungry, they eat. When they are tired, they sleep. But we have this ability to think, the strong intellectual ability that we have been blessed with. We have to pause, withdraw, and reflect. Then we can go back to our daily life. Unless that reflection is done, a life without reflection is not really a worthy life. Anudarshanam, doshanudarshanam. That is the 12th discipline, virtue, that we are in the middle. We just started that, we'll continue that, complete it, and go to the next discipline, next virtue. Having gone through various kinds of suffering in this life, we will have to go through the same kinds of sufferings in future births also. Unless we take steps now to stop this cycle of birth and death, we are going in a loop. We don't remember the past births, but we have taken innumerable births before. And we are going in cycles, just like going on the beltway without knowing where the exit is. We are going round and round in circles, going through the same experience, life after life, life after life. Sometime we have to find an exit from this loop and go for liberation, freedom from this cycle of birth and death. Otherwise, we'll be going round in circles, as just now the beautiful Shankaracharya's hymn, Bhajagovinda Stotram, sung by Shukladi and our devotees. It says, Punarapi Jananam, Punarapi Maranam, Punarapi Janani Jathare Shayanam, Iha Samsare Kaludustare Kripaya Pare Pahi Murare. Punarapi Jananam, again birth. Punarapi Maranam, again death. And things in between, old age and suffering, disease, etc. Punarapi janani jatharesharam, again living in the womb of the mother for 9 months in darkness, all the associated suffering. Iha samsare, in this world, kalu dustare, which is difficult to cross. Murare, O Lord Shiva, Kripaya Pahi, please save me from this cycle of birth and death. That prayer we have to say. Otherwise, if you are happy with this cycle, then we don't have to do anything. There is no problem. Then such a person has no problem. This is not meant for those people. They are happy. They want to be born again. It's fine. Nobody is going to compel them or twist their arms to go for and practice vairagya and strive for liberation. But if you are mumukshus, aspirants, seekers of liberation, then this all reflection we have to do. This experience is repetitive, and we have to ask ourselves this question: how many times do I have to go through this cycle of birth, old age, disease and death and other kinds of problems? Is there a solution? Is there an exit from this loop? If so, what is the way? In the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, every now and then somebody asks Guru Maharaj, Sri Ramakrishna, sir, what is the way? Then Sri Ramakrishna says, teaching, holy company, repetition of God's name, all those instructions that he studied, he gives those things. That we have to look for the way out of this loop. Otherwise, it will continue indefinitely. Old age has its own problems. In the Bhajagovinda Stotram, there is another verse which is very, which describes the disadvantages of old age. Angam galitam palitam mundam dashanavihinam jatam tundam vriddho yati grihitva dandam tadapinamunchati ashapindam. Angam galitam, in old age, all the sense organs, eyes and ears, we cannot see properly, we cannot hear properly. All those sense organs will lose their acuity, deplete. Palitam mundam, baldness will come, all hair will go away. Dashanavihinam jatam tundam, face becomes without teeth. It's kind of graphic description, but is it not true? It is unpleasant, but because it is unpleasant, we should not put a screen and stay, I am safe. That's going to happen. Vriddho yati grihitva dandam. Old man, no offense intended, I am also in the same boat. Walking is difficult. Earlier I used to spring and run. You know, young people run from one room to another. They don't walk, they run. But what happened? Every step is a difficulty. We have to getting up takes a long time. As you saw during the pujas, it's a struggle to get up from the, it's a struggle to sit down on the floor, first of all, then a struggle to get up also. So these things are going to happen. Tadapina munchati ashapindam. Even then the desire does not go away. Desire for enjoyment will be there. Hoping against hope, harboring desires when there is zero chance of fulfilling these desires. Some time ago, we studied Bhartrihari's verses from the Vairagya Shatakam. Bhartrihari was a king. Then he went through the various stages of life. Finally became a jnani, wise man. He wrote three books are ascribed to him. One is when he was young, in the prime of youth, being a king, he had all access to all kinds of pleasures. So he enjoyed life. Then he wrote Sringara Shatakam, 100 verse. Shatakam means him containing verses, 100 verses, Shatakam. Sringara Shatakam, the beauty of human life, all the enjoyments. That is one aspect. We are not denying that. There is that aspect too. But the problem, it is fleeting. It's not permanent. It's going to go away. Then he became a wise person. He wrote 100 verses more in another book called Niti Shatakam. 100 verses on Niti means virtues, proper behavior, proper conduct. Then, when maturity came, he wrote this one, Vairagya Shatakam. Vairagya Shatakam means 100 verses on renunciation. Some of these verses we studied some years ago. Here is one verse which we did not study, but occurred to me that it is saying the same thing that we are studying in Bhagavad Gita. This is verse number 38 in Vairagya Shatakam. Yagriva tishtati jara paritarjayanti rogasya shatrava iva praharanti deham ayuh parisravati bhinna ghatadivambho lokastatha pyahitamacharati iti chitram. What a wonderful thing, surprising thing, that even the age is advancing and The final moment is approaching more and more rapidly. As we grow older, the years pass by more rapidly. I can tell from my experience. In childhood, 1 year was a very long period of time. But from 80 to 81, it is only a few weeks, a whole year has gone by. Time seems to pass more rapidly, pass more rapidly as we advance in age. Jara, Yagrivatishtati Pritarjayanti. Jara means old age. Old age looms ahead, frightening us like a tigress. Yagri. Rogasya Shatravaya Praharanti Deham. Diseases afflict the body like enemies strike us. Diseases strike us. Ayuh Parisravati. Life is flowing away. Bhinna Ghatad Ambhaiva. Just like water flows away very quickly from a leaky pot. The pot has several holes. If you put water, in no time the water will flow away. So life is flowing away like that. Tathapi lokaha kahitam ahitam acharati. People still go on doing the same mistakes over and over again. We don't seem to learn. We are very slow learners as human beings, as a race. We are very slow learners. It takes a long time for something to sink in into our thick skulls. It looks like that. Vichitram, what a wonderful thing it is. And time goes away. Limited time span, we can't extend the time span, at least not yet, though medical science is trying to. So in another verse, verse number 49, in the same book, Vairagya Shatakam, Bhartahari says, Ayuru Varsha Shatam Dunan Parimitam Ratrau Tadartham Gatam Tasyardhasya Parasya Chardama Param Balatva Vriddhatva Yoho Shesham Yadiv Yoga Dukkha Sahitam Sevadibir Niyate Jeeve Vari Taranga Chanchalatare Sakhyam Kutah Praninam. Ayur Varsha Shatam, assuming that we live 100 years. Most of us don't live, most of us thankfully don't live. At the last, if you live on 400 years, last 2 years will be, what is the quality of life? Who wants to be like that? Supposing we live 100 years. Ayur Varsha Shatam Dunam Parimitam, limited. Tadartham Ratrogatam. Tadartham, half of that goes in night, sleep. Out of 100 years, 50 years, equivalent to 50 years time is spent in night time sleep. Dasya ardhasya parasya, of the remaining half, chardham aparam balatva vriddhatvayoho. One half of the remaining, 53 years are remaining, one half of that is 25 years are gone in balatva vriddhatva, childhood and old age. Childhood we cannot do anything. Balas tavat kreda sakta, all the time is spent in play. In vriddhatva, in old age we cannot do anything. So one quarter of life is gone in childhood and old age. How many years are remaining? One quarter of lifespan is remaining. Assuming you will live to 100, 25 years are remaining. Shesham, of this remaining portion of life, vyadhi, vyoga, dukkha, sahitam, sevadibir niyati. On the left quarter remaining is also spent in disease, old age, poverty, fighting, relationship problems, work, job, related stress and family problems, you name it, so many problems are there. Jive vari taranga chanchalatare sokhyam kutaha praninam. Where is happiness? We are still striving to find happiness. It's a hopeless effort. At least this is our old person's perspective. Young people may have a different perspective, full of optimism. Oh, happiness, I'm going to do this, I'm going to enjoy, I will get this promotion, I will build this house, I will buy that car. That is one phase of life. There is a phase of life like that. But the problem is, it is not lasting. It quickly passes and we end up in this stage. In infancy and childhood, we are totally helpless and dependent. Children born in good families get good loving care, But what about those children born in broken families, children whose parents are poor, sick, or sometimes they don't even have parents? So many wars are going on, earthquakes are going on. So many children lose both their parents. What is their fate? Who will take care of them? But children born in good families, they get good care, loving upbringing. In middle age, we experience stress, disappointment, frustration, family problems, job problems. We cannot complete the list. Sickness in the family, financial problems. In old age, ill health. There are other problems, disability, dependence, disappointment, isolation, marginalization. Who wants to talk to an old person? Old people are sidelined, marginalized. There are always the fear factor. It can strike at any time. Fear of losing one's job, even if everything is going all right, fear of losing it is there. Job is there, family is there, children are there, spouse is there, house is there, money is there in the bank, everything is there. But there's always the fear that one or more of these can be lost. Bhartrihari says, this is another verse, sarvam mastu bhayanvitam bhavindranam vairagyam eva bhayam. Bhuvi means in this world, sarvam mastu bhayanvitam, all things are accompanied with fear of loss. We have all those things, but fear that it may go away is always there lurking in the back of our minds. Vairagyam eva bhayam, only renunciation, detachment is free from fear. One should often reflect on these problems. So the 12th discipline virtue we are studying is frequent reflection on the fleeting nature of life and the repetitive nature of this life of suffering, and reflection on how to get out of this cycle, of this loop, and find a way for freedom, liberation. One should often reflect on these problems. Swamiji asked us to often think about death. Swami Vivekananda. Unless we vigorously strive for self-knowledge or liberation, we'll be subject to these problems again and again. Such frequent reflection helps us to strengthen our desire for release from the cycle of birth and death, our desire for liberation. Mumukshutvam. Sri Ramakrishna calls it Vyakulata, for bhakti. When we are seeking parabhakti, pure devotion, we should have the strong yearning. One more day has gone, and I have not experienced divine love. That feeling of strong yearning must be there. It is said in his biography that during his intense years of sadhana before the disciples went, in the evening he would roll on the ground, rubbing his face on the earth. Oh mother, one more day has gone, slipped away, and I have not had the good fortune of having your vision. When will you show yourself to me? When can I have your vision? That intensity of yearning, that is Vyakulata. Jnanis talk about it as Mumukshatvam, the desire for liberation. Moksha means liberation. So how can we intensify our desire for liberation or our desire for pure bhakti? By reflection. That is why Sri Krishna says in this verse, janma mrityu jaravyadhi dukkha dosha anudarshanam. Reflection on these disadvantages, inevitable suffering, adversity in life, and cultivating a strong desire to find a way out of this loop, of this cycle. That is the 12th discipline. Now we go to the 13th and 14th. We can take them together because they're in one sentence, in one phrase. 13th and 14th are combined together. Asaktiranabhishvangaha putradara grihadishu. All these 20 virtues are signs of self-knowledge. Come in 5 verses. Verses 7 to 11 and chapter 13 of the Bhagavad Gita. 13th one is Asaktihi, 14th one is Anabhishvangaha Putradara Grahadishu. That means, we'll take Asakti first. Asakti means non-attachment. Sakti means attachment to perishable objects, persons and circumstances, hoping that they would bring happiness. Attachment to one's own body, hoping that it will bring me a lot of happiness. Only some people like us know it is not true. It is bringing a lot of pain. But there is a stage when it does bring happiness. Attachment to that, assuming that it will be always there. Attachment to relatives, spouse, property, house, relatives, children and spouse, and other friends, and house and property, job, work, and abilities, and other things, fame and everything. That attachment has to be checked. Attachment becomes, you get used to depending on them. But when they disappear, if there is attachment, a lot of pain will come. If you're non-attached, if it goes, I knew it would go. He gave, he took. I knew it was not mine. But if I think it was mine, it is going to be there forever, and it's going to not going to be there forever, it goes away, then a lot of pain will come. So we have to remain detached. We can have them, we don't have to shun them. We can have a house, we can have a spouse, we can have children, we can have money, we can have property, job, everything we can have. But inwardly we should know this is all only now. Anytime one or more of these may leave, all of these may be intact, I may have to leave, or I will be there, no, these things may leave. One way or the other, separation is going to come. That readiness must be there. When it comes, we should not be surprised. We should be ready. Separation will come, we should be ready for that one. That is detachment. Asakti means detachment. Why we should not have attachment? Why we should be detached? Why not we remain attached? Attachment is pleasing for the time being. We can ask that question. Why detachment is? Again and again, in Vedanta lectures, we keep hearing the word vairagya, detachment, all those things. Why we should do that one? Why not we just assume everything will be there? They are there right now. That question has to be answered. Because of three reasons. One reason is, all of these are upadhis. Upadhi means something that is not the self, not intrinsic, but added on. They come. None of this was there when we were born. Before you were born, even the body was not there. Body is also an upadhi. It's an added on thing. Only the self was there. Atman was there. Then body was added. First addition is the body. Baby is infant body. Then is born. Then there was no property. There was no degree, there was no education, there was no house or spouse, nothing was there, just a baby. Then all these things are added. It goes to school, goes to a higher education, gets a degree, couple of degrees, professional degree. In the meantime, acquires a girlfriend or a wife or a husband, boyfriend or some relation, then children will come, then house will be bought and job will be had, nice job will a person gets, and all these things are added. Anything that is not intrinsic, but added on, is sure to go away. That's the law of nature. Anything that is not intrinsic, that did not come with us, that is not our true nature, but something that is added on as an adjunct, is sure to be lost. So there is a beginning and an end. In chapter 5, verse 22, Sri Krishna says in the Gita, Adyantavantaha, they all have a beginning and an end. You take anything except the Atman. The self has no beginning, it has no end. Na jayate na mriyate. It has no birth, it has no death. The self, our Atman, that's our true nature. That is not in upadhi. It is always there. Whether other things are there or not, Atman is always there. That is the only thing that is going to be always there. Everything else comes and goes. Adyantavantaha. Nateshu ramate buddha. Therefore, a wise person, an intelligent person, does not get attached to those things because they are going to go away. When they go away, a lot of pain will come if you are attached. Keep them as long as they are there. Cherish them. Take care of them. See, Ramakrishna says, live with all your relatives, with wife and children, husband and children, parents, everything. Live with them, serve them, take care of them, do your duty by them, but don't become attached to them, because sooner or later, either they will be there, I have to go, or I'll be there and they will leave. That's one reason. It's not permanent. All upadhis are temporary. Some may live with us for a long time, some may live with us for a short time, but they are temporary. So we should not become attached to them. If they are there, keep them, enjoy them, do your duty, take care of them. But when they leave, I'm ready, I knew it would go away. That is detachment. One reason, they're temporary in nature. Second reason is, they are highly conditional. Happiness coming from them is highly conditional. They are not sources of happiness. To look upon them as sources of happiness is a big error that we make. They have no power to give us happiness. If money had the power to give me happiness, it should always give me happiness. More effort should give me more money, and it should give me happiness all the time, which is not true. Supposing I have a lot of money in the bank, in Swiss bank also I keep some money, some of you don't know. Money is there in the bank. And then I am bedridden, intubated. How can I enjoy that money? It's conditional. Other things must be all right for me to enjoy money. Health must be good and reasonably I must be able to enjoy, travel, use the money to travel, to buy things and to eat nice quality food, all those things. Money is useful. But its use, its ability to give us happiness depends upon other conditions, namely other things must be also all right. If one condition breaks, then everything else is there, then there is no happiness. They're conditional. Samsparshaja Bhoga, 522 in the Gita. Very nice verse in this context. Their ability to give us happiness depends upon other conditions being fulfilled. They must be there, I must be there. And it must be in my possession. If money is there in the bank and I have not in my name, then I don't have use of that money. It must be with me. Samsparsha, it must be in my name. It must be in my possession. Like that. The third reason why we should not become attached to sense objects is, as Nachiketa told Yama, when Yama offered him so many things, long life and long large kingdom and queen and dance and music and horses and elephants and everything, treasury, everything. Nachiketa says, all these three things he says, Sobhava Martyase Dantakai, these are all temporary. Tomorrow they may not be there. Or they may be there and I may have to leave. I may not be there. So that is not a good thing. Then second thing is, Sarvendriyanam Jarayanti Tejaha, Nachiketa says. What a wisdom that boy had. Even if all these things are there intact in my possession, money is there, dress is there, jewelry is there, car is there, food is there, everything is there. But in old age, I cannot enjoy anything. So many restrictions. Cannot even get up from bed. Everything is there. Property is there. House is there. Money is there. Food is there. Jewelry is there. Car is there. I cannot drive. I cannot eat. So for these reasons, we should not become attached to them. Does not mean we should shun them. Does not mean we should shun them. We can keep them. Enjoy them. As long as it is possible. But when the cessation comes, then we should be ready for that one. We should not be attached. Should not become dependent on them, that think that they will always be with us, or I'll be always with them. That is detachment, inwardly detachment. Not, you don't have to show, throw things, shun things, and throw things away. Keep all these things. But inwardly know that this association between me and these sense objects is only for now, and any time it may cease. That is detachment. Such In the 18th chapter of the Gita, verse number 38, Sri Krishna describing three kinds of sukha, rajasik sukha. The sukha, the happiness that comes from sense objects is rajasik happiness, not sattvic happiness. Vishayendriya samyogat yatadagre mrtopamam Parinami Vishamiva Tatsukam Rajasam Smritam. 1838 in the Gita. Vishaya Indriya Samyoga. Samyoga means union, contact, combination. Vishaya Indriya. Sense object, Vishaya Indriya, sense organ. When that contact happens, you can get a certain kind of happiness. Food is there, and my sense object of taste is there. When the contact is made, lot of happiness comes. That kind of happiness, Vishayendriya Samyogat, Yatsukam, that kind of happiness, Agre Amrutopama. In the beginning, it is just like nectar, so pleasing. When the relationship starts, oh, such joy it brings. People in love, you can see, there is a spring in their feet and they glow on their face. They are in love. That is, Agre Amrutopam. In the beginning, when it starts, it feels like nectar, so much joy it brings. Pariname, at the end, when it ceases, as it must sooner or later, for whatever reason, Vishamima, then it only like brings like pain, like poison. What starts out like nectar, promising so much happiness, bringing happiness in the beginning, Agre Amrutopamam, Pariname Vishamiva. When it ends, if you are attached, assume that is going to be there always with me, Vishamiva, it brings pain like poison brings. Tatsukam Rajasam Smritam. That is Rajas, so we should not strive for that. It does not mean we should not enjoy. There is a place for enjoyment. That's why of the four Purusharthas, among the four goals of life, according to our ancient seers and sages, kama is one of them. Dharma artha kama moksha. Kama means desire, fulfillment of desires subject to rules of dharma. And with the inward detachment, we can enjoy food, we can enjoy money, we can enjoy relationships, we can enjoy property, we can enjoy good position, power, car and everything. But inwardly we should know, sooner or later, this is going to be separated. When that separation comes, either things are there and I have to leave, or I am there and they will leave. When that separation comes, in whatever way, I am ready. I was ready. I knew it would go away like that. That is the power of detachment. Asakti, putra dana grahadi. Specifically, he says three things. Putra means son or children. Dara means wife or spouse. Graha means house or property. Adi means etc. In one phrase, Sri Ramakrishna calls all of this Kamini Kanchana. Kamini Kanchana means lust for enjoyment and greed for position. Those things we have to give up. Not physically, necessarily, but inwardly, we have to give up desire, lust and greed that is not consistent with dharma. In the 7th chapter, 11th verse, 7-11, easy to remember, Bhagavad Gita, 7-11, Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna says, how to distinguish between desire that is good and desire that is bad? All desires across the board are not bad. Some desires are good. The desire for liberation is good. Desire for jnana is good. Desire for devotion is good. We have to pursue those desires. But desire for worldly pleasures, power, position, fame, beauty, wealth, etc., these are good only in subject to the rules of dharma. In the 11th verse, 7th chapter, Sri Krishna says in the Gita, dharma viruddho bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshabha. Like that he says. So that is detachment. Next one, 14th one is anabhishvanga putra dharagrahadishu. Anabhishvanga means a very deep and strong and powerful attachment to all these things, sense objects, relationships, etc., amounting to almost identification with one's own children, spouse and property and other things. Identifying with them completely. The method of overcoming this extreme attachment is the same as what we studied before. Reflection on the limitations and negative aspects of these upadhis. Upadhi means anything that is not intrinsic other than the self. Anything that comes and goes, anything that is temporary, anything that is conditional, they're all upadhis. Upadhi means adjunct, added on adjunct. They limit us. They are called limiting adjuncts. Anything that is other than the divine self within is an upadhi, is an attachment. It is an added on attachment. Attachment to upadhis, limiting adjuncts, is due to ignorance. Deha putra dana graha deha. Attachment to body, hoping that it will bring happiness, it will bring for some time, then it will stop. It will start bringing problems. Putra, children also, they may bring great joy. They may be brilliant children, obedient children, becoming spelling bee champions and going to Harvard, MIT, Stanford, bring you a lot of joy, or they may go in the opposite direction. Which way happens, we have no control, we have no way. You can do your best. Be detached. Do your best and leave the rest. The mantra is, the solution is, for all these things, how to deal with upadhis, do the best, leave the rest. Our duty we have to do. Take care of them, property or children or job, whatever, you have to take care of it. You have to go to work at the right time and do our best. Otherwise, work will not be there. Job will not be there. Same thing about children. Same thing about marriage. We have to work hard. Do our portion. And then what happens depends on the other party too. Depends on the sense object too. Therefore, no control. Leave the rest. That is the solution. Then, when this discussion was going on, one day, somebody asked Sri Ramakrishna, "Sir, should we hate women then?" Sri Ramakrishna always used to say, "Kamini kanchana, kamini kanchana." Kamini means woman. It gives wrong impression if you take it literally. What he meant was, attachment to woman as object of pleasure. She's not an object of pleasure, she's a divine mother. Change your attitude, woman becomes adorable, worshipable. We'll see how it can be done. Then Sri Ramakrishna said, "Why hate? When knowledge dawns, all women are seen to be the images of the divine mother herself. Until then, one should practice looking upon all women as one's own mother. One should consider oneself as the custodian regarding property." So everybody has some property. House and money and possessions and jewelry and car and all those things are property we all have. Those are necessities we need to have. But how to relate to those things if you are detached? What is the power of detachment? Considering oneself, Sri Ramakrishna says, considering oneself as merely the custodian, the manager, the servant and the caretaker, and taking good care of all these things that have come to us, and as a custodian knows, it's not his permanent position. "My Rama, my Hari," that lady can say, domestic helping lady can say, but she knows the children are not her children. In the same attitude of detachment, we have to keep things, use them, because they are necessities. Sense objects are necessities. Money, yes, but I'm only a caretaker of the money. When it goes, I have done my part. Body is only a possession. I'm a caretaker of the body. I'm sitting in this house. When it goes, I knew it would go. I'm ready. That detachment, that power of detachment. So considering oneself as the caretaker, custodian, servant, manager, and not as the owner, because you have no control when it goes. And taking good care of them, as any employee is expected to, that is our dharma. That's what we have to do. Then concerning lust for women, Sri Ramakrishna gave these three sentences which are noteworthy. To an ignorant person, woman is an object of enjoyment. In some societies, it is true today, in the 21st century, they are simply objects of enjoyment. They have no freedom. They can't go to school. They can't even walk freely. They have to cover their bodies, whole bodies, with only a little opening for the eyes. The plight of women. A sign of ignorance, deep ignorance. To an ignorant person, woman is an object of enjoyment. Nothing wrong with women, but it's my attitude that is wrong, faulty. My attitude towards woman is where the fault lies, not in the woman. To a sadhaka, seeker of knowledge, seeker of bhakti, woman is the mother. Every woman should be considered as a mother. Sri Ramakrishna says again and again, when you see a woman, think of your mother. Woman should be thought of as mother, with respect, with love. To an illumined person, woman is the divine mother herself. Three things, very beautiful. To an ignorant person, woman is an object of enjoyment. To a seeker, aspirant, seeker of knowledge or devotion, woman is the mother, to be respected, to be revered. Swami Vivekananda says, worship your mother as the divine mother herself. In Inspire Talks, when he was giving classes in Thousand Island Park in the summer of 1895, the class notes were taken over by a devotee and published as Inspire Talks. These notes are written chronologically by date. Please go to Inspire Talks and look under the date July 2, 1895. There Swamiji says, July 2, 1895, Swamiji said, your own biological mother who gave you birth, she is a drop of the divine mother. If you want wisdom, peace and love, worship your mother. That's how we should worship all women as mother. But when we become illumined, we see divine mother herself taking these forms. Sri Ramakrishna saw a prostitute, Ramani was her name, in Dakshineswar campus. Oh mother, you have appeared in this guise. Divine mother appearing as that lady. That is the nature of detachment. We have to change our attitude. We have to change our outlook. Object remains as it is. So there is nothing wrong with women. There is nothing wrong with property. There is nothing wrong with money or house or job or position or power. Nothing wrong. But our attitude must be refined. It is that refinement of our attitude towards these things that is called for. That is detachment. Asakti rana vishvangaha putradara grahadishu. That brings us to the end of the 14th discipline, virtue. Next time when we meet, we go to the 15th one. We have 6 more remaining. 15th one is nityam cha samachittatvam ishtanishtopapattishu. We will study that next time.